Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
All righty then. Thank you so much for tuning in on a holiday. Happy Labor Day to you, America.
Because I'm proud to be in America.
Rick Tittle alongside Michael Urban.
28 seconds in, we get the first singing from Rick Tittle. Good morning, Rick.
Does that count as singing?
Yeah.
So, Labor Day. Let's labor. It's not like we're sweating over a hot jackhammer.
It could be a lot worse.
It could be a lot worse. Anyway, I hope you have the day off. And I know also that this is always, I found, one of the worst traffic weekends for the Bay Area, because you still have the European tourists. Bless their heart. By the way, European girl, I'm a peeing guy. But then you also have everyone that comes
Such
down.
A dad joke.
Everybody's coming down to Union Square, Fisherman's Wharf, or, you know, they want to walk across the Golden Gate Bridge, and that's great. So you get everybody from lovely places like Redding and Reno.
Typical holiday tourists.
Yeah. So you got the Euros, and you've got Euros. I'd love a Euro
sandwiches
right now. Oh, I'd love one.
Tzatziki.
And what I'm trying to say is serenity now. Hopefully, if you're tuned in, we bring a little sports talk. We've got some guests, Michael, today.
Yeah, we do. I like it.
Alex,
five.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
It's funny, people say, how much do you pay your guests? Nothing. That's why.
Wow.
I'm never.
Oh, sorry.
Squirrel.
There's a double-decker bus behind you. I've never seen one of those down here.
What?
It's way touristy.
Those tour buses?
Not in this particular area.
Oh, all the time.
I only see, like, industrial traffic. The driverless cars scare the hell out of me around here.
Why would someone invent that?
I don't know.
Why would you want to get behind in a car with, what is this, Sleeper with Woody Allen?
How could you ever trust it?
I never would.
Neither would I, but that's why, I mean, literally all times of the day, even like last week when I was filling in on the butcher shop, I'd go to my car at 10:20.
People think you actually work at a butcher shop. You should say that's the name of one of our shows with Joe Shasky, because he's the butcher boy. But I know we get off on these tangents.
Yeah, we do. It's freaking Monday on Labor Day. I think we're going to have a good time today. We must. We owe it to the listeners. You ever get a mentor, like somebody brought in? You've been doing this for so long. Is a boss ever brought in, like a consultant, to teach you how to be on the air?
Now, when I worked in TV, we had this. By the way, guests, I brought it up. I don't want to forget.
Oh, yeah.
Alex Pavlovich, 10:20, talking Giants. Ivan Mizell. We're going to talk a little college football. It's a holiday. We're going to squeeze it in.
Najee Harris.
Don't tell people.
Antioch High.
Scotty Reese, our buddy from Stanford, covers all the teams here. And then John Paul Baseball, who we had yesterday. It's been too long. We have to have him back. John Morosi, one of the best, reporter for MLB Network. And also Ian Williams, former San Francisco 49er and Golden Domer himself. We'll have him. So we got lots of guests. And by the way, you can participate. We would love your participation at 888-957-9570. That is the toll-free line. Once again, 888-957-9570. And you can always shoot us a text on the Chilton Autobody text line, 95795. Yes, it's only five digits. 95795. And Herbs, you know, I use Twitter for work, right? So mm-hmm. I say, here's who's going to be on the show, or I'll say, boy, the A's bullpen sucks, stuff like that. I put out a tweet that we were doing a show. You put out a tweet we were doing a show. Between the two of us, we got one like.
Nice.
So
which one of us got it?
I got it. But here's the thing.
Of course you know. Wow.
You brought it up.
Come on, guys. Pick me up.
But my point is I know people are, as they say in Canada, they're ootin' a boot right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good time to go ahead and chime in. And let's start with, usually we don't start with a team that's going nowhere, but there was a very emotional moment yesterday in China Basin.
Yeah.
I tripped over a guy in a cardboard box, and I gave him $100. But there was also another emotional moment, and that is Pablo Sandoval got what is probably going to be his last AB, his last at bat, in a San Francisco Giants uniform. Now, there's still a chance he could be back, but he's basically here. They brought him back because Bochy loves this kid. And remember when he went to Boston, Sandoval kind of said, well, my only friend there was Bochy and maybe two other guys. So
Pablo's getting the Tommy John on Wednesday, right?
He's getting Tommy John surgery on Wednesday. And there was a thought that maybe he'd go to St. Louis to get one more at bat. And they're like, why push
it back? Not on the road.
Yeah, why push it back? So he got his last at bat. It was a pinch hit and a loss to the Padres. He grounded out and came back in. And we have a little sound, and I want you to take a listen. Here is Pablo Sandoval after the game.
Emotional, but, you know, I was, like I said, I was lost a little bit, but at least a step in the home plate, I hit the ball on a strikeout. So, but, you know, when you do everything with love and a passion, you're going to see everything. And, you know, I think the most important thing this about was the love that I got from them. And I know I was lost. I don't see a patient for 2 weeks, but, you know, I had to do it before I get surgery, because this fan support gave me a lot of things, a lot of love, a lot of passion. I want to give about something to them before I get surgery.
All right, that's Pablo Sandoval after the game. I'd like to get the reaction of baseball fans, because we're not going to talk about this ever again unless it just comes up, you know, off the cuff. But that was his last at bat.
Mm-hmm.
Giants fans, usually I throw it out to all baseball fans, and it is all for all baseball fans, but especially Giants fans. What do you think of Pablo Sandoval? How do you feel about him? How did you feel about the last at bat? How will you remember him? When I say to you, Pablo Sandoval, Michael Urban, what do you think?
Joy. He plays the game with an obvious joy. It rubs off on his teammates. That's why after, you know, a couple of mea culpas, he was welcomed right back into that clubhouse with open arms, even though he tried to trash everything on his way out. And I love watching guys that are smiling more often than not playing a kid's game for a living. And Pablo's one of those guys. He truly understands how lucky, how fortunate, blessed he is to be a Major League Baseball player. It's sadly a kind of a rare thing these days.
If you think about a guy, you know, as they do with international signings, you sign these guys at 16 years old. They can sign professional terms at 18. But coming to a new country, and remember, he was a catcher because he's built like one.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The Giants would always say, well, our emergency catcher is our former minor league catcher. Now, he didn't play a whole lot at catcher.
In the minors, he started early.
He started, yeah. He was AZL and like mm-hmm. that. But then they put him over at third. I remember the first look I got at him because, as always, we read about phenoms. I remember he was at the Futures game. And Mark Grace was on the color commentator for whatever network it was at the mm-hmm. time, Fox, ESPN, whatever. But Sandoval got up, and it was my first look at him. And I'm thinking, oh, this guy, he's beefy, so maybe he's strong, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He got a hit, and the next time up, he got another hit. And this was a pitch that was, like, way outside, and he just slapped it anyway, like tomahawked it.
As he is wont to do.
And I remember Mark Gray said verbatim, my boy can hit. He just said, I love this kid. He's born to hit.
Yeah, and I think a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about favorite pitchers of mine, and I told you the Hernandez brothers, El Duque and Levon, and it's because of their ability to improvise on the diamond. And that's one of the things that there's a creativity to their pitching. And it sounds kind of weird to talk about Pablo in this vein, but there's something artistic about his at-bats, his approach. A lot of people said, well, he doesn't even have an approach. Yeah, he does. He knows exactly where he likes the ball. He knows the pitches that he's supposed to stay away from, admits he has a hard time with it. But, I mean, that guy had, and on the defensive side, he's like the Charles Barkley of Major League Baseball. He just did things that you simply don't expect or should ever expect that type of ability from a guy that big. I mean, the dude's playing third base, making divers, making that play on the run, coming in. He could do it all.
No, he did. And that's the other thing, too. People talked about his weight, and that was the one thing that he showed up in Boston, and he was fat, and the mm-hmm. Red Sox kind of said, and they gave him a few, and they're like, you know what? Travis Shaw's our third baseman. It's like, mm-hmm. what happened? It's like, you got to lose weight. Well, here's the thing. If you're Pablo Sandoval, and all you hear is you got to lose weight, you got to lose weight, you think, I can rake, and I got a great glove, mm-hmm. and I got a great arm. I'm a two-time All-Star. I have rings. Why do I have to lose weight? I'm already pretty good. You remember, by the time that they finally DFA'd him in Boston, and they still say it's the worst free agent signing in their history. In fact, next year they're going to give him a $5 million buyout. So they still owe him $5 million, which will mean $95 million the Boston Red Sox gave him to virtually not play for them. And the Red Sox don't care. They won the World Series last year. This is why I like teams with ambition and cash. They can laugh off $95 million down the drain. But when the Giants got him back, they sent him to San Jose.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if you want to come back, you have to start on that first rung. Maybe not low A, but go to the California League. And I think he was only there for like three games.
Yeah.
But it was almost like, you want to come back, you got to pay your dues.
Yeah, just a little bit of punishment, maybe a reminder of who's truly in charge here. But man, the Giants, think of all the, I can't imagine what it must be like for a GM like David Force to watch the Red Sox be able to swallow that contract and pay him to play for the Giants. It's just a completely different world.
That's why I love teams that spin.
Yeah.
It's not my money. I remember on Bart a few years ago, the A's had this ad campaign that said, it's when they had A's brand, which I didn't like.
Right.
That was their, I mean, green collar baseball rooted in Oakland. I'm with you.
They've typically done really well with
it. I'm with you. I never understood A's brand. I don't know what that meant. But anyway, that was their, it said this, had these signs on Bart that said, you know, I had like Mark Ellis high-fiving somebody. And it said, it's better to build a club than to buy one. It's like, you should never brag about being cheap. And it always kills me when A's fans say, you know how many wins we got for our money? I said, our money? It's like, oh, the Dodgers spent more, right, and we got more wins. You're going to celebrate frugality? You're going to champion being cheap? Don't be the champions of cheap. Do you think that when you're lifting the World Series trophy, you're going to say, we didn't draft that guy, so it kind of cheapens it? Do you think the Yankees ever think that when they buy all their players? Do you think the Diamondbacks, when they went out and they bought Curt Schilling and bought Randy Johnson, we didn't draft those guys, it's not as fun?
Right, and remember how much heat George Steinbrenner used to get outside of New York, and the stock line was, oh, you're just trying to buy championships. You have more money, so you're buying every GM should be trying to buy a championship.
Right. Those
every
are the
team.
Rules. Those are the rules.
That's
all right,
the whole point.
So we'll talk about Pablo Sandoval today. If you want to chime in, you can. We also have a lot of football talk to get to, a lot of pennant race talk. We can talk about the A's bullpen dumpster fire as well. We'll do all that at 888-957-9570, and feel free to text in on the Chilton Auto Body text line. Alex Pavlovich, who covers the Giants for NBC Sports Bay Area, will join us next. Tittle and Herbs, Labor Day, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Urban and Tittle.
Thank you for that. Happy Labor Day. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle and Michael Urban with you. Who's on after us? Doesn't say. Do we know Joe Spadoni? Do we know Arden, Whitey, and Covey?
Wow.
So that'll be Whitey Gleason and Ryan Covey. Okay. Alex, what? I don't know. I got people talking in my ear here. Oh, we have Pavlovich. That's what we have. Why don't we go to our guest, Michael?
Let's do that.
Let's do that.
Especially, we led with Giants. May as well go right to the Giants guy.
Also laboring on a Labor Day, or us just bugging the crap out of him, it is our friend Alex Pavlovich. And yesterday, a poignant moment in a, what seems to be maybe a forgettable September, but we know that Pablo Sandoval is going to have Tommy John surgery on Wednesday, and we know how much Bochy loves that guy, and he got up, grounded out, got a standing O, and I guess, is that it for Pablo? And if it is, what do you think of Pablo Sandoval when I mention his name, Alex?
I don't necessarily know that it's it. I think a lot of people are saying he has to go to the American League next year, and something like, I don't buy that. I mean, I think he, you know, to me, his best value is still in the National League and the versatility he provides. So I think he's going to have to rehab somewhere, and he's going to have to play this out somewhere. And I don't know that it has to be somewhere other than San Francisco. I think he could still potentially do that, and we'll see what happens next year. But in terms of, you know, if that is it, I mean, I personally, just having covered him the first time, and I was there when it was very clear at that parade that he was leaving. I was up early when he went to Boston, and so I've kind of covered the whole arc, and I really, you know, can't think of anybody else I've covered who had a redemption story quite like he did. And just the way he came back, and I think the way the fans embraced him. And I remember talking to players when he was coming back, or there was rumors that he might come back in the middle of that season, and guys were kind of a little like, you know, he burned a lot of bridges here. But I think what he did to not just come back and get back in people's good graces, but really become, I think, one of the two or three most popular players on the team again, just shows you he came back humbled and worked hard and came back a good player.
Hey, Alex, can you give me the particulars of his contract? Now, we know that the Red Sox have been footing the majority of the bill all this time. There's a $5 million bonus, I think, next year. Is that
buyout.
Buyout, not bonus. Okay, say he gets bought out. He gets the $5 million. Is he just a straight-up free agent at that point?
Yeah, he'll be a free agent, second time for him. And I think, you know, it's complicated for him because no matter what, even if the rehab goes really well, he's not going to be ready opening day. So I don't know if potentially somebody signs him to a two-year deal and says you rehab most of that year. I think that's usually more of a pitcher thing than a position player thing. So my guess is he'll probably be a free agent and either pick a place that he really wants to go and rehab there with the idea of getting back late next year or just wait it out and, you know, maybe have a showcase or maybe do something next summer once it's healthy to show that he can help somebody.
Since, I mean, it's pretty clear he's still got some gas in the tank. Defensively as well, he did better defensively than I thought he would. It feels like Pablo learned, I don't know if learned his lesson is the right phrase, but I know that he now probably concedes that wasn't the best idea going to Boston. I think he'd take less money to stay here. I think he'd turn down a bigger contract somewhere else. How about you?
Yeah, no, I agree. The one, you know, the caveat here is that a huge part of everything that's happened here is Bruce Bochy.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't know who he's coming back to. But I think San Francisco's meaningful to look, he say what you want about that deal, but he got $90 million. So he's set for life.
Right.
He doesn't need to make this decision based on money. And I think for him, it's going to be a situation. He has young kids and potentially maybe somewhere close to home. You know, I think for him also, he should find a contender, quite frankly, because he's still somebody you want up in a big spot.
So last game of the season, the 29th, Dodgers at Giants. The Giants have done a fantastic job since the McGowan Group bought the team of feting and really celebrating their history and even the guys that were still with us, what they've done, you know, at the time with Willie McCovey and, of course, with the Baby Bowl and Willie Mays and everyone else. What do you think, what would you guess would be the ceremony, the gifts, the I don't know what they're going to do, but I know the Giants are going to do something over the top because of their appreciation and love for Bruce Bochy.
I don't want to guess because I know some of it, but I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a whole month. It's going to be huge. And especially at home, I think there's going to be a lot that's done. I don't want to spoil anything, but it's going to be a big month. And they certainly have had a lot of time to prepare for this and have a lot prepared, especially for that last week.
Hey, Alex, knowing Bruce the way you do, have you noticed that he's starting to be a little bit more nostalgic as this run, you know, gets close to the finish line? You know, that big series they're doing in the Chronicle, it seems like he's already allowing himself to reminisce. And you tell me, it seemed like he wasn't much interested in that earlier in the season.
No, I actually don't think it's changed, really. I mean, I think, you know, again, I wasn't there the last couple of days when obviously their situation gets more and more dire by the day. But I do think his focus, for the most part, has been on the field. And he gets asked about it every day. He gets asked by local reporters. He gets asked every time we go on the road. People say, this is your last time here. What do you think of this? I don't know that it has really become a big deal for him yet. I think there are little things he's doing to celebrate it. And you mentioned the Chronicle thing that John Chay's doing, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
And he's doing stuff with his family, but I think, you know, he's going to play this one out. And to me, it really won't be until that last homestand that maybe we see him kind of embrace it.
Do you think right now, and of course, this is just speculation when a team is kind of out of it here in September, but do you think the opening day starter, the odds are more on Madison Bumgarner coming back on a new deal or a healthy Johnny Cueto? Which one do you think that would be?
If I had to bet, I mean, I would say Cueto just because I'm really confident that he's going to be ready to go. And I think he'll be ready to go next weekend. And I think we'll see good things from him over the next month. And he will go into next season basically a full go. So I think that gives them a little bit of an advantage. But we'll see what happens with Bumgarner. But just if you had to pick one of the two right now, I mean, he is – going to be healthy, I think, and odds are he's going to be here, although, you know, he potentially could be a trade chip in the offseason, too.
We're talking with Alex Pavlovich, Giants reporter for NBC Bay Area. You can follow him on Twitter and should at Pavlovich NBCS. Alex, what's the vibe like in the clubhouse now? I know they've got to put on a brave face and say they're not mathematically eliminated, but I think the reality is probably starting to set in. Is there, in a strange way, is there a little bit extra excitement right now because the young kids know they're going to get some run this month?
Yeah, I mean, with those guys, there is certainly, and you've seen Dubon and the energy he brings, and I think we'll see guys over the next week, though, and they had a small group come in yesterday and two more today, and I do think there's going to be, probably 10, 12 total, so that also brings a little bit more energy in September. I mean, it can go the other way. We saw what happened last year and how bad they were, but I do think this group is a little bit different, and just the fact that you're going to have a lot of Dubon and potentially some Chris Shaw out there and still a lot of Yastrzemski, it does make it a little bit different.
A couple more questions for Alex Pavlovich of NBC Sports Bay Area, Giants beat writer. When you look at the staff overall and you'd say, well, they traded some guys out of the bullpen. They call up these kids like the Coonrods of the world, and the rotation had a lot of injuries. But the Giants are still, albeit barely, they're still in the top half in all of baseball in ERA. And it just makes it frustrating if the offense just could have picked it up a little bit more. What do you think about the staff overall this year?
I think a lot of those numbers were put up early and kind of when, the bullpen was probably the best in the National League for a stretch there. So that helped. But they do have, and even guys who have struggled. I mean, Tyler Beattie had a really good month there. They've had guys who have shown flashes. To me, that's been the strength. I mean, the bullpen was the strength most of the year, and they've gotten, not lately, but there was a stretch where they got good starting pitching. It got kind of overshadowed because they were scoring 7 or 8 runs a game, but that was certainly a big part of July. But yeah, like you said, the standard is not very high with this team to win. I think you get 4 runs, you're usually in pretty good shape. We've just seen at home, especially, they just can't do that.
What are you looking from the Giants in this final month? Are there any particular players that you would like to see a lot of and get everyday run? Is there a pitcher that maybe, the casual fan hasn't heard about?
But I think Dubon, first of all, is somebody they need to figure out what he is. And if he's ready potentially next April to take on a big role. And then I go back to the young pitchers and Beattie and Anderson and those guys. They need to kind of figure out which ones can go into the offseason, whether being in the rotation or being in the bullpen or being a swingman. They need to figure out who these guys are. And I think a few of them probably have 3 or 4 more starts to try to make that case. But it's been up and down for those guys. And they need to figure out the rotation long term. So for me, this is a big month for them.
Finally, Alex, we'll get you out on this question. Kevin Pillar has hit 20 home runs. And normally you'd think, what's the big deal? Well, for the Giants, that's like getting over the 50 home run plateau. I mean, in this era of the juiced ball, that the Giants haven't got completely on board with that. Is that kind of a pejorative milestone, or you'll take all the milestones you can get?
You take all of them, and I think it's going to be a bigger deal if they get 3 or 4 guys there. It'll just show, how far they've come. And for me, if Yastrzemski gets there, that's certainly a big deal for them. And, it just shows that, they had to do it. They had to keep up. And you see the home runs all around the game and numbers that everybody else is putting up. I mean, they had to get a couple guys there this season, of all seasons, and it keeps us from writing that, no 20 home run hitter since 2015. So I think it resets that, and something we've paid a lot of attention to the last couple of years. Shouldn't be that hard to get a guy to 20, and it looks like this year they'll get at least, I think at least 3.
That's Alex Pavlovich. Follow him on Twitter at Pavlovich NBCS. Watch him on NBC Sports Bay Area. Alex, thanks for your time, man. Really appreciate it. Have a good holiday.
All right, thanks, guys.
Alex, courtesy of the Dialpad guest line. All right, all Labor Day, which is today, Michael Urban, at 30 after, and we're coming up on 15 seconds before 30 after. It is the Labor Day giveaway. We're giving away prizes at the bottom of every hour. Every hour, we started at 6 a.m. It's going to go until 6 p.m. It'll go into the next show with Whitey and Ryan.
Bottom of the hour means at the 30s.
There you go. Right now.
I know that bothers you, doesn't it?
Right now. No, it bothered Bill King.
Oh, okay.
He hated
I know you
of
had a
hour.
Story about hating bottom of the hour.
So, The way it is right now, this is not our regular call-in number to get on the air. We have a contest line. And now these are some great prizes. A little next hour, we'll give away Zach Brown tickets. It'll be at Shoreline. At 12:30, we're going to give away opening night tickets, Monday Night Football. The Donkeys come to play the Raiders. And at 1:30, this is cool, Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band at Shoreline.
Are you going to go and wear your fanny pack?
I don't get it.
Just seems like something people that go to Bob Seger concerts really? Might rock. Yeah.
No, I would think like maybe
you put your weed in here.
Oh, that. I was thinking maybe the Canadian tuxedo. Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jean, if people don't know, jean jacket and jeans. So this is the way it works. The first caller we get on the prize line is going to get Dave Matthews Band tickets. Not just any Dave Matthews Band concert, but September 10th. At the Chase Center, one of the first events you will ever see there. How exciting is that?
It's very exciting, although I believe it to be bad. I know this is silly and it doesn't matter, but I thought it would have been really cool if the Warriors got to be the first event at their new arena, and you told me there's some rule that they can't do that?
No, I didn't say there was a rule.
Somebody told me there has to be three, like, basically for every new arena. They have to schedule
what?
Yeah, they have to schedule three events that are not for that team. Yeah,
I heard was you have to flush every toilet at the same time. That's true.
Okay, that may be the case too. But...
and your rhinal, as they say in England.
Okay,
let me give out the prize line. Has everybody got their fast fingers? First caller wins Dave Matthews Band tickets September 10th at Chase Center. By the way, these are courtesy of Another Planet Entertainment. I'm not going to say which one. Might be Neptune, might be Pluto. Oh, wait, that's their name. Another Planet Entertainment. The number to call, 844-999-GAME. 844-999-4263. I think your chances are much higher today on a holiday than it would be if this was a Jolo and Dibs.
No doubt.
Because we don't have as many listeners right now. So your chances are sky high. Call now, 844-999-4263, and you will win the first caller, Dave Matthews Band tickets, September 10th at Chase Center, courtesy of our friends over at Another Planet Entertainment. Now, as I said, at 11:30, Zach Brown Band, 12:30, this is appointment radio, Herbs, Raiders... last Monday night football game
Broncos,
in Oakland,
right?
Their hated old AFL rivals,
that's good,
the Denver Donkeys. And then at 1:30, Bob Seger. By the way, Live Nation is handing over the Zach Brown and Seger tickets and the Oakland Raiders. By the way, the Oakland Raiders, for some people who didn't know, the Oakland Raiders will be right here on 95.7 The Game this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very proud to say, people don't know, I'm going to be doing pre and post with Coz and Marcel Reese, old number 45, the former University of Washington wide receiver, Raiders running back.
That must be awesome for you. The team of your childhood, and you're getting to work pre and post. That's kind of cool, no? Yourself to think it's cool.
No, it is cool. I did last year's finale.
Right.
Everybody was jumping ship because they thought that was it.
Right.
Like, Rick, you want it? Absolutely.
I think it probably comes as a surprise to some fans to hear that the Raiders are still on our station.
It comes to a surprise to a lot of people.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of texts from buddies of mine saying, I thought you guys dropped the Raiders, or was that the A's, or did they drop you? Some confusion.
Well, they're going to get my 100% full effort, yes. But yeah, it is. I mean, listen, that's not like something I aspired to, but as a kid, if you told me I was going to do 8 years of A's baseball,
right,
and then to be the guy on pre and post with Coz, that's pretty cool.
And I'm pulling for them extra hard because of you, because I know how cool. Like, when I got to cover the Giants winning the World Series, be on site for that, I mean, it was an incredibly special day for me professionally and personally. And I would very much like to see you doing pre and post on a Super Bowl broadcast.
How would, oh my gosh, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Hey, nobody thought the Giants were going to win it in 2010.
Do you know what happened? It would be like, we're going to the Super Bowl. Woo! Yeah, we're going to let Damon do that. We know how radio works. No, I'm just playing. But anyway, so we have more tickets to give away. Let me just, since we have a couple minutes left in this segment, Let me just throw out a couple more Pablo things. What do you think about the panda hat mania? Because I liked it. I'm not a Giants fan, but I like when people have fun. And just this year, when the Giants were at the Coliseum, I was riding Bart home after the game with the rabble. And there was this...
The rabble?
The rabble.
Oh, I thought you were, had a new name for, like, Renegade or the Warrior.
Oh, no.
The rebel that is overjoyed to have your time. You know, I coached hockey in Texas.
But there was a little girl who was in sitting in those seats that face each other, you know, on Bart.
Okay.
And there was a little girl with, I suppose, her grandfather, and he was wearing a Giants hat, and she was wearing a panda hat. I just think it's cute. When you're a little kid, how fun is it to be introduced to baseball with one guy who's the panda, and you get to wear a panda hat? That's why I don't like when people say, take off them stupid hats. Quit. I don't like being the guy telling people to stop having fun. I don't do the wave, but I don't mind the wave. People are having fun. Just get over it.
Yeah, I mean, that's people taking themselves way, way too seriously. Now, the wave is straight up annoying. But, yeah, I mean, people are digging it. They're having fun. Probably the people doing the wave are not the hardcore seam heads that you've already got anyway. They're going to be fans forever. But, hey, if the wave brings one kid, prompts one kid to ask his dad or mom to go back to the ballpark, mission accomplished. That's what it should be. And, hell yeah, I think that's fun. The panda hats, the giraffe hats, I dig it all.
A couple of years ago, I had on my show Crazy George. He's been on a few times. But we got down to brass tacks. He did invent the wave against the Yankees, 1981 playoffs. The University of Washington thinks they invented it.
Right.
They did it a month later. And then I think it's funny, the first time in England they ever saw the wave was at the World Cup in Mexico in 1986, which, by the way, was awarded to Colombia, and because of all the Escobar stuff, they switched it to Mexico.
Right.
But they so in England, that's all they call it now is the Mexican wave. We started doing the Mexican wave. It's not just the wave. 888-957-9570. Let's go to our friend 211 in the East Side. What's up, man?
What's up, guys? Hey, I'm glad you guys are bringing the Raiders back for the season. I love it that you're going to be on the pre and after. And that little divorce that we went through with the station, it hurt. I was bitter. I was upset. All the ball watching with the clowns across the bay, it was just ugly. But I'm glad they're back for this final hoorah. And I'm going to be there Monday night, man. Let's roll with it.
All right, there it is. He's going to be there Monday night. Let's roll with it. That sounds like you when you say, let's get it.
Yeah, I like 211, but he needs to stay longer. He gets in and out, and you appreciate that for the most part. But I think he's got something to say for the most part, too.
I like that.
I think he tries to get in and out. We need to pick up, like, okay, he's on fire today. Let's try to hang him on a little bit longer.
Well, and I think that's nice that you said that. But then again, if you have a point to make, and you just have that point to make, don't linger. Say, you know, George Costanza, good night, Cleveland. Get out on a high. I had a guy call me the other day.
On to Cincinnati.
I had a guy call me the other day. He seemed like a great guy. And I waited and I waited and I waited until I told him to make his point. Because he's like, I remember going to a Raider game.
Yeah.
The van pulled up. We got in the van. Didn't seem like there were seats.
Smoke billowed out of it.
Anyway, I ended up getting a seat. Or did I? I think I got a seat. Anyway, we're driving along.
Was he laboring with his breathing?
But he's whatever.
You are.
I got to the point where I'm like, I really don't want to be rude, but I need you to make your point.
Right.
It's only a 4-hour show.
Did you tell him I don't mean to be rude? Like, did you?
I did. I said
it with that?
And then when he hung up, I said, I really. You know, but the thing is, you're not here to spin a yarn.
Right.
You know, I have always.
Well, the Warrior
I've had PDs tell me this too, but I have always, if somebody has something good to say and it's a good discussion, and we could completely disagree with each other, but if it's a good discussion, I'm not going to cut you off.
Right.
I've worked for some PDs who have said, no one wants to hear the caller. As soon as he's on, cut him off. And I think, well, I want to hear him.
Haven't you also had PDs that take the exact opposite approach? Because I have. I've had both.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I don't get why you wouldn't.
I had a PD who hated me because I was a Raider fan.
Wow.
Yeah, this is years ago. And I didn't know.
The PD in the Bay Area hated you because you liked the Raiders.
I've been in this 30 years.
Yeah.
This was a long time ago. But I started talking about how Fouts shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame because all he ever won was a beard contest. And obviously he's an accomplished guy, but I ripped him, never even played in a Super Bowl. And I'm like, why is he in and Stabler out? And I got off the air and he goes, he's just fuming. Let me tell you something about your Kenny Stabler, blah, blah, blah. And let me tell you something, blah, blah. And I go, are you a Charger fan? He goes, I'm the biggest Charger fan in the world.
No
and
way.
And I hate Raider fans like you.
Go Chargers, go.
And that's when you dust off the old resume.
Remember that?
What is your address there?
I remember, now he did hate me, and he goes, he's incapable of doing a show by himself. And I'm like, okay. And then they're like, well,
you're incapable of it?
Yeah, because he was hating on me. And then they tried out, and a lot of these names you would know, I won't go through them, but they tried out a lot of co-hosts. It's like, he needs a co-host. And then finally he's like, wait, if we get a co-host, do we have to pay him? They're like, yeah. He goes, I think Rick can do a show by himself.
Of course. Wow, that's weak.
Oh, radio, you got to love it, Herbs.
I do love it. I'm having the best time today.
I think you appreciate it even more because you took a little sabbatical and you came back.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, during that sabbatical where I got my life back in order, one of the main things I realized is, man, I did not appreciate what I had. You know, you hear that all the time. You don't appreciate it till it's gone. But I took it for granted that I got to stand right next to the batting cage and watch Barry Bonds, hit 75-mile-an-hour fastballs 800 feet every single day. It's like, once I got to the level that I aspired to, I was like, it's all good. I don't have to work anymore.
I think it's a human condition, too. We get acclimated.
Yeah.
The comedian Mark Norman, he's one of my favorites. He told me that he opens for Amy Schumer, or used to have been, so everything is always first class.
Right.
But he said, what was that?
My parking meter. Oh.
Okay, we're almost going to a break. But anyway, he said that one time they got in a helicopter to go to the show, and they're flying over, and they're like, oh, they're all looking around. Look at the scenery. And they took the helicopter the next day, and everyone's on their phones.
Really?
Because they're already used to it.
Oh, it's brutal.
All right, Herbs and Tittle, we're talking sports on a Labor Day. We're giving away tickets. The next one, Zach Brown Band. That'll be in about 45 minutes. Come on back, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Urban and Tittle.
All right, welcome back. Nice to have you with us on a Labor Day. Rick Tittle and Michael Urban with you. Coming up at 11:20, we'll talk a little college football with Ivan Mizell from ESPN. A little bit later, Scott Reese, Ian Williams, the Niners, John Morosi, MLB Network. But this segment is all about y'alls and your calls, so get in the queue. We'll talk to you at 888-957-9570. Chilton Autobody text line is 95795. By the way, speaking of feeding meters, San Francisco has 3 days that are parking meter holidays. It's New Year's Day, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. I found this out the hard way because for years and years, working on 4th of July, covering baseball, I would park for free, and then one day I came out and I had a $92 ticket. And giving out parking tickets on the 4th of July, that means San Francisco as a city officially hates America. What else? What other conclusion can you come to? Let's take a look at the text line as Herbs is feeding the old meter here. 510 says, what's wrong with the Wave? Why exactly do you guys not like the Wave? Well, we'll get Herb's comment on that in a second. As I said, I don't mind the Wave. I just, I don't stand up because I'm too lazy. That's all. But people are having fun. Now, the only thing that I, when it comes to the way the crowd acts, the only time I get a little bit perturbed is if my football team's offense is down inside the 20 at home, and the crowd is going crazy, and the quarterback is waving his arms like he's flapping his wings to say, shh, can you please shut up so we can hear the calls? And I remember right when the Raiders moved back, there were a lot of fans who were doing that. And who was it? Hostetler. What are the quarterbacks saying? Shh. And I actually told the guy next to me, he's going, ah, wearing a Raider jacket, Raider hat. And I, nowadays, I wouldn't care, but I was a little bit younger. And I was like, I'm like, dude, they can't hear the calls. And he's like, I don't care. I'm cheering. Blah. So that would be the only time. Other than that, I think it's okay. Thank you for people saying that they're fired up for hearing us. That's very nice. 510, Mike in San Pablo says the Red Sox got Louis Tiant when he was fat. He had back problems. Still got them into the 1975 World Series. Yes, and they lost to the Reds. Here's the thing, though. Pablo Sandoval, if he went to Boston and hit 330, no one would have cared that he was fat. Did anybody care that David Ortiz was a balloon? David Ortiz was not just fat. He's hella fat. When he was with the Mariners and his name was David Arias, then he went to the Twins. The Twins just flat out cut him. You know, let's just say he's a late bloomer. And then he started raking. No one cares. We just want a performance. You think anybody cares that Bartolo Colon was fat? You think when you had just Sebastian Janikowski scoring more than 1,000 points for the Raiders, anybody cared that he was fat? That's the thing where people say, oh, you got to lose weight. Well, not always. Maybe if you're a runway model. But, of course, you know, we have, especially in the Western world, this fascination that we're all overweight, and I am. But, you know, and especially it's hard. It's hard for a lot of ladies, too. They always think, oh, I'm overweight. I'm like, I'm sorry this has been, you know, programmed into you or inculcated into you. It's like, oh, no, I'm 125. I need to get back to 115. I'm like, hey, you're not fat. So it's not that Boston hates fat guys. It's just that when you come in and you go to a market like that, remember, Sandoval was forgiven for being tubby here because he performed. He had that situation in Capitola, you might remember, where a woman went to the police in the wee hours of the morning and complained that she was sexually assaulted. You know, that was whatever happened there. Pablo got through it. I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. But if you're successful and they love you, you can get away with a lot. And I think it is a little bit revisionist history for people to say that he clowned the Giants as he left. I didn't see anything that was too disparaging outside of the fact that he said, well, I'm only really friends with Bochy and a couple of other guys there. I mean, a lot of times we just make a big deal out of it. You know, I saw a headline the other day when Kawhi Leonard and PG-13 were being introduced to the Clippers. And it said, shots fired by Kawhi at Lakers. And I thought, shots fired? What did he say? I thought maybe it said, Kawhi said, the Lakers suck and I would never play for them. As it turned out, he said, well, you know, the Clippers have been better than the Lakers the last 5 years. I'm like, that's the shots fired headline, but that's kind of the era we're living in right now. All right, Herbs is back with us. And Herbs, somebody wanted to know on the text line why you hate the Wave.
I don't know. It just seems like mindless. I don't know. Just feels like Mass used to feel when I was 10. It's like people are just doing stuff because everyone else is doing it, and you have to say and do it when they do it. I just don't like it. That's all. I'm okay with beach balls, strangely enough, but not the Wave.
Tell us how you really feel.
How about you? What do you think of the Wave, Rick?
I think it's fun.
By the way, Crazy George,
yeah,
he should be forced to change his nickname, shouldn't he? Right about now, the PC police aren't after him. Crazy George.
Oh, you mean for mental illness?
Yeah.
Well, like I said yesterday, how long until they get rid of the tournament, the Masters?
Right. See, I'd never even thought of the Masters in that context.
I thought of it once they said NBA owners can't be called owners anymore. You have to be called governor. Once that happened, then I thought the Masters has got to be next.
So, like, who polices that rule? Somebody going around and...
Twitter!
Of course. Forgot.
Twitter. One of the, Mike in San Pablo says, one of the saddest and funniest scenes is a busted Wave that never takes shape. I will say I do laugh at the guy who tries to start the Wave, like, in the third deck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, everybody, ready? Go.
Crickets.
That's how it starts.
Right.
But I remember one time a guy started it, and it was in the Bash Brother years when the A's were drawing $3 million, sold out. But this is before Mount Davis and everything. But right. The wave's going around, and he yelled, "I started it. I started it." But what's funny is that if people remember in the Bash Brother years and a little bit after, too, I want to say they still did it into the Big Three era when you were covering the A's. The A's on Diamond Vision would put a wave with a line through it and a circle around it.
Oh, I never saw that.
Yeah. It's like.
I like it.
It's like, don't do the wave. And I'm like, I hated that.
Yeah, I mean, I admit my stance is a little bit odd considering I'm the guy always saying, you know, there's room for silly in my life and all that. And it's just silly. I don't know why that in particular bothers me, but yeah, nothing wrong with people having a good time at the ballpark. If that's what they need to have a good time, then knock yourself out.
All right, I want to get to something that you mentioned to me before the show, and that is we got to see the Chase Center and the Warriors' new facility. One of the baselines says Golden State Warriors, or just Warriors, I forgot which. I think just Warriors. And then the other side says San Francisco. And I thought, well, that figures. But you have an opinion and an idea.
I do. And even if it's clear, it's such an obvious PR, PC move, whatever. If you're going to have San Francisco on one end, how cool would it be to just tell everybody in Oakland, tell the old Oracle crowd, hey, we love you. We still want you to be a part of us. And so on the other baseline, opposite San Francisco, hashtag rooted in Oakland.
But that's the A's catchphrase and their little Twitter.
It's become
symbol.
More than that. You see, Warriors wore T-shirts that said rooted in Oakland.
No.
Yeah, I saw one of them had one at the first or second parade.
A Warriors shirt that said rooted in Oakland?
Yeah. No. Or one of the Warriors was wearing a shirt that said
he was wearing an A's shirt.
Rooted in Oakland. It didn't look like an A's shirt to me.
Was it Oaklandish?
It was.
Did they combine it? I know that if you do it on Twitter, a little A symbol pops up.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't ask to see the tags or anything.
Twitter rules our lives. Well, listen, that's never going to happen. They say they will still now.
Wouldn't that be cool, though? Wouldn't you be stoked if you're an Oakland fan? Like,
really.
At least they gave us a little bit.
It feels like a biscuit to a dog. It's like, here's a treat.
For guys like us, cynical media members.
No, it's not. It's not a media member thing. I've always been a fan first. You know, it's just, look, they never embraced Oakland until they found out they could get San Francisco for real. Then they started wearing the town.
Right.
They said that they will at certain games. Remember, the Warriors, I think they had 75 different jerseys last year.
79
different jerseys, yeah, for 82 games. But they said that they'll still wear the town at the Chase Center for a few games. That's what I heard. So that's the little nod
the
towards.
Biscuit they're throwing them?
Well, it's like they would wear the old cable car, the city jerseys, to remember when they were the San Francisco Warriors.
But see, that's why I like hashtag rooted in Oakland there, because it will be there every day, just like San Francisco's there every day.
They're not going to use the A's hashtag, though.
I know they're not.
By the way,
you're saying I think it is a fine idea if they did, and I think some Oakland fans would appreciate
it. Well, what if they say commitment to excellence or pride and poise?